This morning we want to get back into our study of the prison epistles that we looked at for quite a while. We're almost done. We're in Colossians chapter 4 today. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 4, a little reminder, Paul wrote the prison epistles, and he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And he did those while he was in prison in Rome. And he did that while he was under house arrest, and he had a little bit of freedom, but he was still chained to a soldier. And yet he wrote and he encouraged them through what we call these prison epistles. He encouraged the churches in some great ways, and we've been studying those, looking at those in broad ways, a chapter at a time. And today we come to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 really has two sections to it, and it's, as my sermon title talks about, it's a section about prayer, and then it's a section about people. We're going to really just look at the prayer part today. We'll pick up next week and look at the people. I know that we've been doing a chapter at a time with these, but we're going to do the people one next week and tie that in a little bit with the last book that we're going to look at, which is Philemon. So as we begin, I just want to read a couple of verses from chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert with it in an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the world, for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. We're going to look at just those verses this morning. And really, as we focus in just on these few verses this morning, this is a pretty good section to find ourselves in as we begin a new year. You know, it's always interesting as we begin a new year, we turn the calendar page, we get new calendars, and we think, okay, what should I do this year? How should I approach God this year? How should I work differently or better? Or how should I rearrange? You know, we always think about those kinds of things, resolutions, those kinds of things. So it's really good, actually, to, at the beginning of a year, think, all right, what are some things that I need to do? How do I need to serve God maybe a little bit differently? What needs to happen in my life? We started this process really last week when we looked at the story of the Magi, and we talked about the fact that we ought to seek God. And we didn't go into great detail with it, but we've talked over and over again that as you're seeking God as a believer, you're going to seek God through what we call the basic Christian disciplines. The disciplines of Christianity, which are by and large Bible reading, prayer, meditation, and Bible memory. There's a few others that can be thrown in there, but those are basically the ones that we talk about a lot. That as you think about seeking after God, I ought to be doing some things. I don't need to travel and follow a light in the sky in order to find God to worship Him. We understand that He is everywhere. We understand the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And so what do I need to do to seek Him? Well, He's given us the Bible, so I ought to be reading it. I ought to meditate upon that. I ought to memorize that. And I certainly ought to pray and talk to Him. We ought to make sure that we are doing that, that we are putting our life in a place where God indeed can talk back to us, can do this great work in our lives that He wants to accomplish in our lives. Well, our focus this morning is going to be on prayer. Verse 1 of chapter 4 really belongs with chapter 3. We looked at that earlier as we looked at Ephesians, and we've seen that concept before. So we just want to start with verse 2, and it simply says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The first part of it's pretty significant, isn't it? Devote yourself to prayer. Pretty simple as well. Devote yourself to prayer. Is there, can we find a verse in the Bible that is more simple and more clear-cut and more direct when it comes to prayer than this one? And normally when pastors ask that kind of a question, it's a rhetorical question, and the answer is always, well, no, this is the best place in the world for that. Well, this time the answer is, yes, there are other verses like that. And the reason why I ask the question, the reason we want to even look at this and talk about it is this. If God has given us not just one, but a handful of verses that are simple, straightforward, and direct about prayer that cannot be interpreted in any other way except what it says on the paper, I mean no other way, it's crystal clear, it's directed us to the point, do you think that maybe He wants us to understand that prayer is something that we should place some importance in? That maybe prayer is something that we should participate in? That maybe prayer is something that we should embrace? Let's look at those other clear verses. Ephesians chapter 6. Today's message is nothing more than a call to prayer for every one of us. You may be a person that doesn't pray much. You may be a person that prays a lot. I bet every single one of us can improve and adjust our prayer life. And that's our call this morning. Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. James chapter 5. Simple question is asked, is there anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. You should pray when you're suffering, when you're struggling, when life isn't how you want it to be. You should pray. We talked about that in Sunday school last week, it was, when we were looking at the prayer of Jesus, that we were encouraged to make sure that prayer is where we run to when we face some of the difficulties of life, when we face those battles. Run to prayer. James says, are you suffering? Pray. Go to Matthew chapter 26, which is the whole thing that I was just referring to a moment ago there, that we looked at that Jesus taught us that. But in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Well, that's a pretty simple verse. That's a pretty clear verse. That's a pretty straightforward verse. Keep watching and praying that I might not enter into temptation. Well, prayer might be a good thing. If I want to be a person that doesn't sin, if I want to be a person that walks as I ought with my God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, there's a list of things that I ought to be doing in Romans chapter 12. He begins it with the gifts in the beginning of chapter 12, and he says, this is what you ought to be doing, you're gifted, you ought to do these things. And then he goes into this thing beginning in verse 9 of do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And in verse 12, it's rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, we need to be honest, and we need to say that as we read the Bible and as we study the Bible, there are a lot of verses that you can study and you come upon where you can say, well, you know, I can understand how it might be understood this way, or I understand that the interpretation might fit here. The verses that we've looked at so far, all the verses on prayer, you can't rearrange them. You can't change them. You can't make them say anything other than what they're saying. They are clear and straight and concise. Don't be anxious for things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God. Tell Him what's going on in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about a straightforward, easy to understand verse. Pray without ceasing. Wow, I wonder what he means by without ceasing. You know exactly what he means what he means when he says without ceasing. You know exactly what he means when he says prayer. You know what this verse means. Pray without ceasing. Be regular. Be constant. Never. Don't have a prayer that you do and then you forget about God and go about and do other things. Have a prayer and continue to talk to God as you go out throughout your day. And as you see this. And as you're reminded about that. And as you bump into that. And as you handle that. Talk to God without ceasing. Never stop that conversation. If we are going to understand some of these verses on prayer, what we're going to do is we're going to start our morning with, good morning, Lord, and we're going to talk to Him starting there, and we're going to end it with, thanks for the day, good night, Lord. That's where we ought to be as Christians. Is that it needs to be that continual, fluid, constant idea that I'm talking to my God without ceasing. How about 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. And Paul says, therefore I want the men in every place to pray. Hey, I want you to pray. Pray, come on. Start praying. Let's get with it. Give your attention to God and get rid of that wrath and that dissension and pray. That's what I want you to do. Prayer. It's a pretty simple concept. Pretty powerful concept, isn't it? Pretty amazing type thing. It's important. It's powerful. And it is simply this. Prayer is that thing whereby we, who are the created ones, talk to the one who created us. That's it. Don't make it harder than it is. Prayer is simply you talking to God. There's not a certain language you need to use. There aren't certain words you need to use. There aren't certain phrases you need to use. There's not a certain place you need to be in. There's not a certain posture you need to take. You need to simply talk to your God. And you can do it verbally or mentally. Either one works. Prayer is the created ones talking to the one who created us. And from Genesis to Revelation, we read about and we see examples of that activity. It's a pretty important deal. We open up the Bible into the Gospels and we see our Lord, Emmanuel, God in flesh, practicing prayer over and over and over and over again. Folks, it seems like this thing called prayer is a pretty big deal. And we need to be a part of it. We call this thing that we have with God a relationship, do we not? We don't call it a religion. We don't call it an exercise. We call it a relationship. We say I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We say I have a relationship with the Savior. We say that even as I've been saved, that I have accepted Jesus in a personal way. I have a relationship with Him. I know Him. Well, how in the world can you have a relationship without communicating? You can't. We have to talk. Now, I know that some of you are out there saying, well, I don't know, I know about a lot of relationships where there's not a lot of talking going on. Is it a good relationship or could it be better? It can always be better with more communication, with more talking. So I'm not doubting the fact that you have a relationship with God today. I'm not trying to say you don't have a relationship with God. I'm wanting to say for every single one of us today, we need to stop and think, how is my relationship with God based upon this one thing? How often am I talking to Him? What's my relationship look like with the God who saved me based upon how often do I talk with Him? That's the question I want us to ponder today. Can I make my relationship with God better by talking to Him more often? And if the answer to that question is yes, then let's work on our way to figure out how we can talk with Him. Somebody has said that prayer for a believer is like breathing for a human. It's essential. So, back to Colossians chapter 4. What is it that the prisoner Paul has to say about prayer? He says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. We read that in one of the other verses on prayer that we went to. Devote yourself to prayer. Other translations say this, continue steadfastly in prayer, always maintain the habit of prayer, attend constantly to prayer, persevere in prayer, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. The truth of the matter is, we understand those phrases. Continually, steadfastly, always maintain the habit, attend constantly, persevere, devote. We understand those words. We understand those phrases. We know exactly what it is that our Bibles are trying to tell us. We know exactly what it is that God is trying to tell us. This isn't complicated. This isn't a mystery. The understanding is not the issue today. The doing is the issue today for every single one of us. Every single one of us. Preaching to myself here. Every single one of us. We know what it says. We understand. It's the doing. Well, he says you ought to devote yourself to prayer. What does he mean by that? If we're going to devote ourselves to prayer, if we're going to continue steadfastly in prayer, if we're going to maintain the habit, or if we're going to attend constantly to prayer, or if we're even going to persevere in prayer, it means that it takes an effort. It takes a plan. It takes time taken out of the day. It takes purpose. It takes attention. We might even say it takes hard work. Commitment. We might even say it takes a reworking of our priorities and our approach to life on a day-to-day basis. And we can say this for sure. There's nobody you're ever going to meet that has a great prayer life that is going to say to you, I just kind of fell into prayer every day. It just marvelously worked out. It's not what they're going to say. They're going to say, I set out to pray. I was intentional about praying. And again, I don't mean that you shut off the noise and you find a spot. That's a wonderful thing of prayer. But I believe you need to be intentional even when you pray out when you're driving or when you're in line doing this or when you're waiting to get coffee or when you're going shopping or when you're driving by somebody's house. You need to be intentional about it then too. You need to start off by saying, I want to do this today. I want to pray. I want to talk to God. We need to plan to do that. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. And it's well worth it if we do this. If we put the time in and put the effort in and strive toward this, we will find that it is great, great reward. He's not done, though, in verse 1. He says, not only should you devote yourself to prayer, but you should keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Jesus used these words when he was talking to his disciples in the garden. Stay alert. Stay alert. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. There's a lot of things that we can say about this whole idea of keeping alert in it with prayer. We understand the word prayer warrior, the phrase prayer warrior. That's kind of what Paul is after here. It's a common phrase. And that's what Paul is kind of after here, being a prayer warrior, keeping alert. Now, let's just be honest about some things about prayer, okay? And I want to start off with this, with keeping alert in prayer. Have you ever prayed, and I mean you've prayed, you set it out, and I'm going to pray, and you are praying, but your mind is somewhere else? Probably. We need to keep alert in prayer, which means when you pray, you need to be all about prayer. Be alert in your prayers. Be on task with your prayers. I want to pray right now. I want to talk to God right now. I want to recognize that that's important right now, and that's what I want to do. I want to be alert in my prayers. And the other thing about being alert, and the Bible has a lot of different phrases that it uses, and it uses this phrase of be alert, keeping alert, be aware a handful of times, is that here's the deal, and this is part of what Jesus did in Matthew, is that we live in an incredibly... let me back up on that. We live in a world where there is a spiritual battle raging all around us. So be alert. The Bible uses phrases like this. It says that the devil has schemes, and he wants to trap you. The Bible says that he's going around looking for whom he might devour. We live in a world that is contrary to God on a regular basis. We should stay alert. We can't just go through life as Christians and not be alert, not be aware of what is going on. There are way too many times that way too many of us will come to a Bible study, we'll come to a worship service, we'll come to a Sunday school, we'll spend our day in worship, and then we just go off into our week and we forgot everything that we talked about. We forgot about all the worship that we were involved in. We forgot all about the great truths that we learned. And we just kind of stumble off into the world. There's no alertness at all. And the devil is just sucking us into his schemes on a regular basis then. You got to be alert. And you know what I have found in life, and I bet you have found the same thing? When you put your guard down, watch out, huh? Isn't that something? When can we stop being alert, Kent? When he takes you to glory. We got to be alert until then. We got to be ready because there are some things that are going on. And so he says, not only should you be regular, be constant, be devoted to prayer, but be alert in it. Be aware of your life and understand why prayer matters. See, I think that that's part of being the alert. I think that if you're alert to the world and you understand what's going on and what the battle is and the spiritual war that's going on, I think that in that alertness, you'll want to run to God. You'll think, this is bad. This is bad. There's a scheme going on out there. Lord, I need your help here. I need your protection. I need you. So be alert to what is going on in the world. Don't be just, you know, numb and blank and allow all of the world just to come in. Be alert to what is happening Make sure that you are devoted to prayer and you are a prayer warrior and you are being alert, because it's serious and it's real and it matters. You belong to the kingdom of God. And the enemy is against the kingdom of God, so you must stay alert. Be watchful. Be aware. Be strong. This is part of what helps make prayer better, when you're alert and you're strong. Now, if we're going to be alert in our praying, if we're going to do what it says here and we're going to be devote ourselves to prayer and keep an alert in it, in that prayer, that's going to change some of our prayers, I think. Because if I'm going to be alert and I'm going to understand what's going on in the world, my prayers may be deeper than bless Aunt so-and-so, bless the pastor, bless, take care of. Maybe we need to go a little deeper with our prayers because we're alert and we know what's going on in life. I would encourage you to read the New Testament prayers over and over again that you find in Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Thessalonians. You read those New Testament prayers, those prayers of Paul, and you think, man, that's how I should pray. That's praying a prayer that is alert. That is mattering, and it matters. The last thing that he says in verse 2 is do all of this with thanksgiving. The New American Standard puts in an attitude of thanksgiving. They kind of added that for emphasis so we'd understand and the sentence would flow better. Keep an alert in it with thanksgiving. Pray in a thankful way. Now, you know that that's how we're supposed to pray, don't you? And we're pretty good at that, it seems like. We're pretty good about thanking the Lord when we pray, but boy, there's hardly a reference to prayer that doesn't include some aspect of thanksgiving. I want to read a couple of those to you. We looked at this one already, but go to it again, Philippians 4:6, just because it's such a good verse. And it says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving needs to be an aspect of our prayer. Colossians, just across the page there, Colossians 1:12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who is qualified to share us in the inheritance with the saints. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Be thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're to pray and be thankful. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Failing to give thanks is to go down a road that says, I don't acknowledge God. It's a bad road. Read Romans 1. We need to be people who are thankful. Why in the world should we be thankful? And you know the answers to all of these things. You know what's going on with that. Be thankful because there is a God you can pray to. Be thankful that God has made a way for you to pray to Him. Be thankful that the God listens to your prayers. Be thankful that you have some help in a time of need and you can come to the throne of grace and He encourages you and helps you. Be thankful that you have the desire to pray. Be thankful that you have the ability to pray. Be thankful for all the things around you that life has given you. I mean, we can go on and on and on. Being thankful in your prayers just is what should happen. We should devote ourselves to prayer. We should keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. But then we want to notice verses 3 and 4 with Paul. He says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God would open up to us a door for the word, so that we may seek forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been also been, speak forth the mystery of Christ, which I have been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Now, I think that that's a verse that we tend to fly over sometimes. Paul says, pray, make sure you keep alert, make sure you give thanks, and then he says this, by the way, would you pray for me, please? Would you pray for me, Paul says? The Apostle Paul. Paul had his ducks in a row, did he not? He wrote a lot of cool things. And he said, "Would you pray for me, please?" And this isn't all that unusual right here. Paul asked for prayer in Romans and Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and Timothy. Regularly, Paul says, "Hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me, please?" Here's the thing, and this is important. As you go through the Bible, you will see over and over again that the Bible very clearly says that we ought to pray for other people. It is taught by example. It is taught by words, actual words, pray for other people. Okay? How does praying for other people work? I don't understand it. I don't know anybody who does understand it. Here's what I know. God says you ought to do it, and God says it's a good thing, and God says it matters and it works. Well, I guess we should do it then. We should pray for other people. And we should pray for other people regularly. Notice the words of Paul here. Would you pray for me? Since you're praying, would you pray for me? Would you pray for us, the group that is here with me? And here's what I want you to pray. I want you to pray that God will open up to us a door for the Word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Would you pray for me that I would respond to the open door that God gives us, that God would open us a door, that I would speak forth the mystery of Christ, that I might make the gospel clear and the words that I have to speak clear? Would you pray for me about that, please? It doesn't matter who you're praying for. That's a good prayer. God, today would you pray for them that you would open up a word, a door for them, that they might share the gospel, that they might make the gospel clear in how they speak, that their lives would shine for you. God, would you open up a door for them so that they can speak to somebody today? What a great prayer to pray. What a great prayer to pray for yourself, and what a great prayer to pray for other people. Paul says, would you pray for me? Wow. If Paul understood that he needed prayer, how about us today? I'd say we need prayer. We ask you to pray a lot. We send emails out asking you to pray. We have the prayer bulletin asking you to pray. Every once in a while we mention other things asking you to pray. Would you take that seriously, please? Would you pray for people, please, on a regular basis? When you get that email, pray for people immediately, right then. Continue to pray for them. When you read your prayer bulletin, continually keep that in front of you and pray for those people on a regular basis. Praying for other people is a really, 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 really good thing to do. And then if you have issues in life, you share with them with us, and we share them with the body, and the body will pray for you. And that's the way that it's supposed to work. Pray for us. I want to challenge you this morning that you would be men and women, teenagers, boys and girls of prayer, that you would devote yourself to prayer, that you'd be alert in it, and that you would always give thanks, and that you would pray for others, especially that other people would recognize and see the door they've been given, and they would have the words they need to share the gospel. Would you do that? Let's be people who pray. Let's start this brand new year off. People who pray. We'll finish this up next week and move on to the last prison epistle. Father, we thank you so very much that you have given us the ability to pray. You give us the desire to pray. You give us all we need concerning prayer. And yet I recognize that we don't always pray as we ought. And so, Father, I pray that you would fix that for us and that you would just increase our prayer life and our prayer desire for your glory and your honor. And we ask this, thanking you that we can talk to the God of the universe in Jesus' name.